And I don't know if all of you are aware, but the structure of our of the teaching ministry, so to speak, the teaching program for the Midwest Presbytery CY starts with, and it happens at various and sundry times, an opportunity to collect ideas from you all, speakers you've heard, topics you'd like to hear from, and so on. And so from time to time, we've gathered a number of those topics. And then the CY officers take those ideas and further digest them and in various processes, but essentially take those topics to their own sessions, run the topics the speakers by, in a sense get approval, get input, get oversight into the topic and speakers, and bring those back, and then as a group of officers, make a selection about who we will have speak and on what topic for our for the summer, the Western Presbytery conference, family conference. So that's where it starts. And then recently, starting with this past year, we decided in order to follow up on the summer, we would have topics that supported whatever was there for the summer. And that came from the original way that this group was organized. It was at a summer conference. And I don't know, we talked about revival, that was the topic. If we think about a particular time in which God enlarges a group of people, gives them a special interest in being together, but around topics of salvation and doctrine and whatever else, we really saw that happening. And the youth at that time said, we just can't just enjoy this and go home and forget about it. So for a time, they were getting together once a month. Can you imagine that? It's been challenging for us to do it four times. But again, the idea was a follow-up on the summer conference. So we decided that it would make sense for us to ask the speaker at the conference, well, what are some areas or aspects that you are unable to cover, or what would be a helpful follow-up so we don't just hear a topic and forget about it? So the topic, as you know by now, for the summer conference was revival. And Pastor Stephen Work delivered really, I think, what a lot of us considered was somewhat of a definitive presentation of revival. And I know when I talked to him earlier in the year, he had a long list of topics. And he was having a hard time paring it down to, if I get five shots at it, what are the best use of my time in terms of revival? But when we asked him what would be good follow-on topics, he said, prayer, fasting, and the Word. And so that's what we've chosen. And we've tried to then refer to the topic of revival. So at the last time, again, I think we were quite blessed. It was interesting that Pastor Hannah, he wasn't a pastor yet. Is he a pastor yet? Did he finish and get her? He's a licentiate, which almost sounds like, he's a guy that can do anything he wants. It means he's licensed to preach. And he delivered a series of lectures on fasting. And again, he will have said that his presentation wasn't exhaustive on the topic of fasting, but nonetheless, it was very practical and focused around day in and day out, what do you need to know about fasting? What is a helpful perspective on fasting? What's a biblical approach to the topic of fasting? So, coming into this retreat, we wanted to both follow up, tie it together with the topics of revival. So you just heard the Reader's Digest on steroids version of Pastor Work's presentation of revival. It was fast when he did it. It was really fast when Craig did it. I thought he was going to have to turn his pitch up a couple levels just to get all through it. But a lot of what he said, brought back to memory things that I hadn't remembered. I'll tell you some of the things that really struck me and will be involved in my topic, which is prayer and fasting. So I'm going to do some review. In fact, I'm going to extract some review from all of you, some review of what we heard about fasting, and hopefully tie that into prayer. So I'll start. Well, I've already started with something else, but after I quit starting and really get into my topic, I'm going to give you a bit of a testimony of what fasting has looked like in my life, for better or for worse. And then I will throw out the opportunity for you to speak to what some of what you've remembered from if you were at the last retreat about fasting. And then I'll do a bit of an overview like Craig did, although I don't think it'll be quite as comprehensive. And finally, I'm going to provide some suggestions for how you might structure some ideas about how you could plan, structure the times that you spend fasting, and bearing in mind that really it's about prayer and being in the Word, not so much about just fasting. But we'll get to that. But some of the things that really struck me from what Craig said as a reminder, the heart of revival being the power of God. That is what we're looking for in revival. That revival is God exercising His power. He said, what did he say? Just a minute, I lost it. Revivals are extraordinary communications of the Holy Spirit. Well, extraordinary implies that, as he said, there will be periods of history without revival. I think there's something to be said for the idea that when there is revival, there may have been something wrong. When things are right, maybe we don't need revival. So there should be periods of history where things are just peaceful, when we're in a quiet place. We're admonished to have some longing for a peaceful and quiet life. Well, if you're always in a state of revival, that's not a quiet and peaceful life. So there's something to be said for this idea that it is an extraordinary. Now, Pastor Work made it clear that things are not right. He made it very clear that it is appropriate for us to be longing for and looking for revival. And not just in the church in general. You know, we could bash American evangelicalism. Try that without a cup of coffee. But he was saying, no. We'll stick with the RPCNA. There's a need for revival. And he talked about the things, what we're willing to tolerate and not be concerned about. Poor attendance at prayer meetings. Where is the power of God to raise up people to pray? The moral corruption in our society. Where is the power of God in the church to have an effect on our society? So Pastor Work wasn't suggesting that this might be one of those quiet times. You know, you're reading the book of Judges where a judge comes along and they whoop up on the Philistines and they had peace for 40 years. Well, we're on the other side of whooping up on the Philistines. The Philistines are here and we need to long for revival. And then he made us a little bit whacked out, because he talked about all the things we should do and then said it didn't have anything to do with us. And so I'll speak to that a little bit as well. But in any case, I think that we do need to be in earnest about seeking God's face for revival in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our families, in our schools, in our churches, in our nation. There is definitely a need for revival. Well, so while I was listening to Craig, it almost came up with my whole other speech. So I just gave it. And you see what happens when I don't have notes before me. So I'm going to try to stick a little closer to my notes. So let me give you a testimony of fasting in my own life. Like I said, for better or for worse. So fasting that was fasting only technically. By that I mean, you know, I skipped a meal. So I was fasting. And that hasn't been so productive. Let me go back. Ignore that bright white part because I didn't mean to have that up yet. Go with the light blue. So I have fasted occasionally, very helpfully, when it's just fasting. When I have some sort of intestinal irregularity and it's helpful not to eat, that's good. I have, embarrassedly, decided to start a diet by fasting. Bad idea. You see, your internal resource manager looks at that and says, whoa, we missed a meal. The supply chain looks like it's a little shaky. Next time we get something, we better pack some of it away because we don't know when that's going to happen again. So it messes you up. So if you fast to kickstart a diet, you're telling your body to pack as much away, wherever your body packs it away. Mine does it right there. And so for the first part of your diet, you're getting fatter. Even if that first 24 hours looked like you had a stellar start. So don't fast to start a diet. But that's just fasting to not eat. And then here's another one that's a little bit embarrassing. It sounds better, but fasting is part of self-denial. Where somehow we look at, I'm going to miss a meal, and I'm going to deny myself, and that's going to make me a greater person. I honestly have struggled with sin and decided, you know, when I fall in this sin, I'm just not going to eat for 24 hours, and I'm going to see what that does for me. And it could have been productive had I spent the time in much of the ways that Pastor Hannah suggested, but in some cases, I just didn't eat. The only difference was now I was hungry. And again, maybe if it's just starving yourself, maybe you'll be less able to overcome sin. But in any case, that's been something that temporarily I think it was effective. You know, okay, I sinned. All right, I'm not going to eat for 24 hours. And as long as I could commit myself to not eating again, I've tried harder not to sin. But that's really not a biblical approach to not sinning. I think we do need to struggle with sin. So that's another part of my testimony that I don't think I would advocate. I was talking with Anna right before lunch, and we were reminding each other that our justification is by faith, and so is our sanctification. It's a matter of grace. It's God's grace in our life. It's not our good works that sanctify us. It's not justification and adoption were something that God did. And now, all I have to do is sanctify myself as long as I'm on this earth. So, that's a bit of what fasting as a part of self-denial was. It was not productive, even if it made me feel like I was making a better contribution than I was otherwise. Probably the metaphor was, you know, having a toddler help you carry a mattress. And really, they just kind of get in the way. Fasting is a part of decision-making. At this point, I would say my testimony of fasting is positive. And I think one of the reasons Lucas Hanna's presentation of fasting was so meaningful to me is that it struck a chord with me in terms of fasting that had been useful and effective. And I think it would have been more effective for me if I would have had that perspective on it. But I have. In fact, one of the most important decisions in my life was made around fasting. I fasted around this decision. And I spent time in prayer, and I came to grips with it. Probably the most important decision in my life. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't the decision to get married. I didn't need to fast. I didn't need to pray. I didn't need to think about it. I saw Jill, like, whew, that was it. That was not a spiritual exercise at all. That was a great example of God's grace. She had a lapse in good sense, and I struck. No, in fact, it was when I was somewhat some of your ages, and I was considering my faith, and I was thinking, man, is this for real or not? And I made a decision. I'll tell you what, I'm just not going to eat till I figure this out. Well, it didn't take me long to figure it out. But I did come to a decision. I came to a decision to follow Jesus. And I had made a profession of faith years before. And I have no reason to believe that I hadn't become a Christian at that time. But because I had sought the Lord's face and I rested in Him. And yet I struggled with my own sinfulness. I struggled with my doubts. I struggled with a number of things. And in this day, the conclusion the Lord brought me to was to follow Jesus. You know, whatever other ideas came into my mind, I would let them come and go. I would be willing to talk, but my decision was to follow Jesus. And that decision has been very well gratified. But it came in the context of fasting. And you know, I can't remember other decisions, but I know there have been decisions I needed to make. And I chose to spend the time rather than eating in the Word and in prayer. Now, I think in my own mind, I may have been thinking, okay, I'm not going to eat and that's going to get God's attention and He's going to be more real to me. I know that at least subconsciously, I thought about fasting in the same way I felt about other good things. That I've kind of got to be good leading up to this prayer request so that I'll have an audience. And that's not what we heard from Lucas Hanna. So I think there have been other times when I've fasted and I've just simply spent the time in prayer and in the Word. And I want to review some of what Pastor Hanna said about that. And those times have been productive. They've been delightful times of reflection, delightful times of growth, a delightful time of changing my perspective on things. You know, I've gone into a period of fasting and the world was dark and bleak, and I've come out and the sun was shining again. So these there are some really good things there. Well, that's my testimony. Now I'm going to give you a partially complete review of the teaching on fasting, because I'm taking Pastor Hanna's Reader's Digest, and I'm going to give you sort of the table of contents. Except I'm going to back up, and I already gave you part of the punchline. So before we do that, I would be interested, just by way of getting your input into it, and I'll try to watch the time, because we don't want to fast from laser tag. Thinking back, for those of you who had been to the session on fasting back here a couple months, what were some ideas about fasting that maybe were very encouraging to you or challenging to you or have impacted you, maybe influenced some fasting you've done since then? Good. Test your heart, change your priorities. Good, good, good metaphor. You know, we like some of the small, exciting things and miss out on the great things. A milkshake instead of a trip to Niagara Falls. Ooh. Good. What are some other things? Yeah, Lizzie? Okay. He talked about putting our efforts in a perspective. There was an element of humility involved with fasting. Yeah. Joanna? Good. that connection between our neediness and His strength is really amazing. Robert? Right. That was one of the things he said. Satan is subtle. It's one of the reasons we need to fast. He talked about not that, you know, people don't just leave the church off and they sort of dwindle away. They fade away from the church. They fade out of a vital walk. And in fasting, it helps to bring us back to a sharpness. Yeah, Anna? Are you cheating and looking at your notes?
No.
Oh, yeah, Anna, that's not cheating. You can look at your notes. Oh, sorry.
What he said about how fasting helps us realize our own state. Mm. And how we are so eager and ready to say that, yes, we do everything else right, like Peter did. But fasting is actually forcing us to do something very big and very dangerous, even if it's something that is true. It makes us actually do what we say we will.
Right. It is. It's good. It's a token, a reminder of something of saying, I am willing to give up something. For Christ, when we say we would give up everything, I'll touch on that again. Thank you. Anything else before I probably should blast on through? Do any of you visiting adults want to throw anything out about your experience of fasting? They told me they were going to fast this whole week just to help make this whole weekend to make this more effective. Well, did I? That's not what you said. Oh, they said they were going to try to get here fast. Sorry. No. Every time they called, we're trying to get here fast. And I heard, we're going to fast the whole weekend to help these young people. Well, here are some of the things that... I'm taking directly from my notes on Pastor Hannah's last lecture, which was a synopsis of the whole weekend. And so not everything that he said is here. And I realized there were some things missing, but it still helps. It was helpful to me to get a focus. But in his synopsis, at the beginning, he said, we fast because we grow dull and because Satan is subtle. And then he focused on, we fast because we grow dull. Sin dulls. As we sin, we grow dull to the awfulness of sin. We're more easily, you know, incrementally, we're more willing to sin. It dulls our appetite for the good things. Good things dull. The good things of life dull us. Our desire to be with the Lord is dulled by good things. I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but going back to this time when I had a very easy decision to ask Jill to marry me, as I was anticipating getting married to her and I thought of incidents that might happen where my life would be cut short, I found myself wanting to pray, God, please don't take me home into glory until I've had a chance to be married to this woman. You know, so here's a great thing. Your wife is a good thing. But even that can dull your desire to be with the Lord. So good things dull us. And fasting helps take us away from those. We deny ourselves of those good things. Good things lull us down the road to hell. You think of a person who's grown up in there has been no adversity, no difficulties, and everything they have is good. But there's no apparent need for anything else. Saved from what? How much better could it get? I've got a friend who his kids have it made. He is an incredible father. They have a wonderful household. It's peaceful. They have just enough, so they're not in want. They don't have so much so that they aren't normal people. But man, they just don't see a need for Christ in particular. That's scary. It makes it hard for me to talk to them about Christ. Fasting takes our attention off of good things and points us to better things. It's not that food's not good. You know, that was a great hot dog meal. You know, we thought about simple. You know, let's just do something simple. Let's have hot dogs. We weren't thinking about what Joe and Rebecca would do to hot dogs. That was awesome. So those good things, when we have them, they take our attention off of better things. And in fasting, we separate ourselves from those good things. In fasting, we tell God and ourselves that we love Him more than the good things He gives us. Again, Pastor Hannah pointed out, you know, you've got the one person who gets the pony for her birthday, and from then on out adores that pony, lives for that pony, and that's all she can think of, versus the person who gets the pony and then adores her father for getting her the pony. Elise, don't get any ideas. You could just adore me without getting the pony. Try that. Adore me for the hot dog that Joe DeBenedetto's cooked. Anyway, in fasting, we tell God and ourselves that we love Him more than the good things He gives us. And it's a reminder that life comes not from bread, but from God. Our life is sustained by God, not by bread. And physically that's true, and eternally especially, spiritually. Our sustenance comes from God, not from bread. And when we don't partake in food, it reminds us of that. So the next thing He gave us then was a definition. This is a definition from Lucas Hanna. He said it's the foregoing of God's good gift, normally food, suggesting it might be something else that you would do without, for the purpose of humbling and focusing the body and mind so as to cause the soul to cry out to God through sharpened and deepened prayer while testing, revealing, and proving to God and yourself the content of your heart. So I thought that gave us a helpful point of reference. What are we trying to accomplish in our fasting? So he would say that my fasting to kickstart my diet wasn't really fasting. I would say that I'm fasting right now. And as soon as we get done, I'll probably go find something else to eat. But in a deeper sense, this is what he was talking about, a definition of fasting, the foregoing of God's good gift. And the purpose then is humility, a reminder, and testing. So, he warned us not to spend our time. David, would you give him a nudge? Because I know he's not just trying to focus on what I'm talking about. he warned us not to spend our time so reflecting on ourselves that we're not thinking of God. And yet, in fasting, we do think on our weaknesses. We realize that I am weak. I need sustenance. I am not self-sufficient. I am not a self-sufficient being. If I stop partaking of God's blessings, I will die. It shows our weakness in a corporal and physical manner. It's a reminder. In fasting, we are reminded then, and it drives us to the Lord. And it's testing. It's a testing to see how I need Christ. It's a testing to deepen your faith when you say I would give up anything. And I wanted to read a list of things that are also going to come up at the last part of this, because I am getting to prayer. It's not just on fasting. But this is from this book by Thomas Watson, The Godly Man's Picture. And he says, do we set a high estimation on Christ? And then he gives us 8 answers as to how we shall know that we put a high estimation on Christ. If we are prizers of Christ, then we prefer Him in our judgment before other things. If we are prizers of Christ, we cannot live without Him. Things which we value, we know not how to be without. If we are prizers of Christ, then we shall not complain at any pains to get Him. If we are prizers of Christ, then we take great pleasure in Christ. If we are prizers of Christ, then we will part with our dearest pleasures for Him. If we are prizers of Christ, we shall think we cannot have Him at too dear a rate. If we are prizers of Christ, we will be willing to help others to get a part in Him. If we are prizers of Christ, then we prize Him in health as well as in sickness, when we are enlarged as well as when we are straightened. And so the idea, the connection that I was making here in my own mind as I came across that list again in preparation for this, that is, fasting gives us the opportunity to examine ourselves, but to also seek after His face so that we do prize Him in these ways. And to see the depth of your hope. It's a testing. Is my hope in Christ, or is my hope in things? And as we forego the good things, we begin to see some of that. So, how to fast? It was the last thing he talked about. How do we fast? And I simplified it. Don't eat. That's it. No, he had some more things to say about that. It's more than not eating. How to fast for real? Practice. And in that sense, yeah, don't eat. Take a meal, skip the meal, and apply some of the principles that we'll talk about here, some ideas to how you would plan that time. His point is, if you just don't eat, all you're going to be is hungry. You got to plan the time. How are you going to spend the time during which you're not eating? Work at it. That's part of the planning. It's part of the disciplining. But use that time well. Start small. Really, start with a meal. I found if I skip breakfast, then it's easy to skip lunch. Kind of hard to skip dinner by that time. But anyway, pick a meal and skip that meal. Or maybe two meals. Plan the time. Spend the time in prayer, especially, and the Word. And I think, I don't remember who, I think maybe it was Lizzie was reminding us that let the failures you will experience add to the effectiveness of bringing about humility. If part of the purpose of fasting is for us to realize our dependence on God, then when we have a useless fast, we can realize, yeah, that was a good thing. I realized even to have a useful, meaningful time of prayer and in the Word, I realize I'm totally dependent on God. So, planning the time in prayer. And this is as close to anything original as I'll come to say today. These are some of the ideas that have come to my mind. And it was really great listening to Sean Stickle yesterday as he talked about really using the Lord's Prayer. You know, how is Christ, how do we, so to speak, use Christ in prayer? Let's see if I probably should look at what he said instead of make it up. He said, what role does Christ play in our prayers? He teaches us to pray. So there's some of that. I'm going to go through each one of these in a little more depth. But use the Lord's Prayer as an outline, as a structure, as the content of your prayer. Do some psalm meditation. Pray through a psalm. Pray through an event. Take an event that's coming up. Forego a meal and pray through the elements of that event. If you were planning a retreat like this, pray for the details that have to go into it. Go down the whole schedule. You know, pray for the person preparing the hot dogs. Pray for the person picking up the pizza. Pray that the timing will be well. Pray that the equipment will work at the whatever. You know, what are we trying to accomplish here? And pray for those things. But pray, that's a great structure. There's your outline, the event. You know, pray for a class. Take your any number of things. Pray with specific people for specific things. pray for revival. So let me just look at those a little bit. This is the ultimate prayer. This is a really awkward sentence, so I beg your pardon. I can hardly read it myself. But the ultimate prayer that is in form and content in His name. So when we talk about praying in Jesus' name, if you want to have the form and the content that's going to put you in the direction of praying in His name, that's the one. Study the prayer. So when you're fasting, during your fast, take the time to study the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Use the long and shorter catechism. Take those questions and answers. Look at what they say this petition is about, and then pray about those things, using that as a time to become very well acquainted with the Lord's Prayer. That's a good use of, that's a good structure for your fast. It's not, you're not just sitting down and just trying to, you know, get better. Plan to use the time that you're fasting to make a study. I guess I already said that. And I would suggest that you take the Lord's Prayer on your lips often. Very often in your prayer life and in your time of fasting, take the words of the Lord's Prayer on your lips and meditate on them, think about them. In fact, you know, measure the way you're praying and what you're praying for against the Lord's Prayer. Is my prayer time, is what I'm praying for, does it line up with what He taught the way He taught His disciples to pray? So use the Lord's Prayer in your fasting in any number of ways. But let the catechisms give you some content for the time you spend. Psalm meditation. These are the heart and words of the Lord Himself. Take those on your own lips. Pray through the phrases of a psalm. Study a psalm during your fasting. And then take those thoughts and words and passions and whatever else and bring those into your own life. Use the Lord's Prayer as an outline for psalms you might consider. You know, plan out your fasting. Take the Lord's Prayer, understand what those petitions are, and then find psalms that are going to help you expand on those petitions with the words of the Lord Himself. These are inspired expansions of prayer. And so do that. If you can sing without embarrassing yourself, then do some of that. Pray right through a psalm. Read a phrase and have that inform your prayer. Pray for the same things. Phrase by phrase, sing or read repeatedly. If you're going to fast for a whole day, you can sing the same psalm all day and pray through different stanzas or verses of it. Again, take some of the, you know, take some good commentary on it. Do some study of it. But don't just be reading, but bringing that into inform the prayer, the time you're going to have speaking with God. So I talked about praying for an event. Pray the petitions of the Lord's Prayer over each element of an event. You know, you keep thinking about things as trivial as hot dogs, but hallowed would be your name during this part of the event. Your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is that going to manifest itself in this event? Same thing for making a decision. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Use that as your prayer for college and all the aspects of college. Try it out sometime and see how much of your college life can be covered in the Lord's Prayer. And if you're praying the Lord's Prayer as a part of that decision, it's going to begin helping you set your priorities about the decision you're making. Why am I picking this college? Why am I picking this major? And does it line up with the petitions of the Lord's Prayer? Can I pray the Lord's Prayer? And that gives you a context. So there's your plan. And that's what I'm getting at. I'm going to fast. What am I going to do? Well, I got a decision to make. Okay, I'm going to take the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to use that as a structure and an outline. And during this time of fasting, I'm going to pray about this decision. You know, a relationship. Long before you get into that relationship, pray the Lord's Prayer about that relationship. Think of all the things in the Lord's Prayer. His name being hallowed. His kingdom come. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord God, You know how lonely I am. You know how I need somebody to spur me on. Well, pray about those relationships with the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, but take the opportunity when you're fasting to focus on a particular relationship and pray for it. And see if that doesn't have some impact on your focus and priorities in that relationship. See if by foregoing a meal and remembering your dependence on God and saying, God, I would give anything up for You, including a meal, and does that not impact, am I making this person, this friendship, which is a good thing, is this good thing detracting me from something better, namely the Lord Jesus Christ? And in fasting, as you pray for that, you'll find that your perspective comes around a bit. Maybe it'll take fasting for 3 or 4 meals on some relationships. Some relationships are really cute, and that makes it kind of hard to pray about them right. But the Lord's Prayer will help. Purchases, you know, think about what you're going to spend your money on, what you're going to buy. If you're going to write a budget, use the Lord's Prayer to help you set the priorities in your budget. So, pray and fast for revival. I brought a lot of individual ideas about how you might structure your prayer time. And I think any one of those, the Lord's Prayer, praying through the Psalms, but as we are complacent with any number of things, to the extent that we're complacent with sin in our lives, to the extent that we're complacent with sin in our society, to the extent that we're complacent about poor results at church, to the extent that people are neglecting the gathering together of the saints, to the extent that we don't see people come to faith and we're, well, you know, that's just the way it is, there's a need for revival. And fasting with prayer will give you the edge to pray for those better things by forgoing a good thing. But spend time praying and fasting. And I think I always ask for a time for a word from our sponsor. And so I'll give my word from our sponsor right now. So my talk's done. I got done early. So the word from our sponsor. See, I'm the CY sponsor. I have to explain to these people. See, I'm the CY sponsor. And they think, some of them think that as the sponsor that I'm supposed to give them money. You know, sometimes that's the way. But that's not it. I'm the sponsor by, I have to give advertisements about what I want to tell them. So I get to meddle every now and again. But my word from the sponsor, and which is why I wanted to back up and give you a review of what is the structure of our teaching for these retreats. It's purposeful. It's aiming at something. We seek to choose topic and speakers which are of interest, that God has given you a desire to hear about and hear from, but we don't want to do it just in a vacuum, and so we seek for the oversight and involvement of the church, of our sessions, to be involved in picking those topics. And God has blessed us immensely. As we listened to Stephen work this summer, we were, I think, amazed. We didn't even know what this was going to be about. Why pick revival? What is this all about? And then Stephen work really spoke to our hearts. And then we have this desire then, having chosen through a fairly elaborate process to have a speaker and then follow up on those things. And the same should be said, maybe even more, of the preaching of the Word on the Lord's Day. But don't let these things just use up 4 sessions at a retreat. But take these teachings, take the teaching, and apply it in your lives. You know, jot down a thing or two that's going to make a difference for you so that you would, at a future retreat, be able to say, you know, I've been thinking on these things and I've had opportunity to apply this in my life. And I'll say that. I partly because I knew I was going to have to give a review of fasting and prayer, but I've had some absolutely delightful times of fasting and seeking the Lord's face and His being willing to burst in on my life and give me a greater desire to be with Him and a greater joy to be one of His. So, let's pray real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this group of young people who are willing to travel a bit to see each other and to enjoy each other. Lord, we do pray that Your Spirit will make each one of them sensitive to the needs of the other. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would not allow for anyone here to be lonely in the midst of this group of believers, but that You would sharpen our hearts and our minds and our eyes. And Lord, we especially pray that we would not even find that the good thing of getting together would detract us from You, but it would point us to You. So Lord, as we go on to do some more fun and exhilarating play, we pray also that You would be willing to crash in on our hearts and our minds and our lives and on our reality. We pray for these things in Your Son's holy name. Amen.